Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. There's something about turning 50 or 60 that sharpens the lens. It's not dramatic, it's not loud. It's more like a quiet question that won't go away. If I keep doing what I'm doing now, where will I actually be 5 years from now? My guest today faced that question head on, not in theory, but in his own body and life. What followed wasn't a quick fix, a trendy program, or a burst of motivation. It was a decision to act permanently on what he already knew. This conversation moves well beyond weight loss. We talk about health span, about long-term thinking in a short-term world, and about why excellence, not perfection, may be the more sustainable path in midlife. If you've ever restarted something, if you've ever known what to do but struggled to keep doing it, this one might meet you exactly where you are. Listen now to my conversation with Stanley Bronstein. Sometimes a next chapter isn't about travel or reinvention or moving to Portugal. Sometimes it's about standing in front of the mirror and deciding, this version of me, we're not done yet. My guest today reached nearly 367 pounds before the age of 50, and instead of surgery or shortcuts, he chose something far less dramatic and far more demanding: daily walking, consistent nutrition, and a mindset shift that eventually became something he now calls the way of excellence. Not perfection, excellence. He rebuilt his body, he rebuilt his belief, and he built a system to help others do the same. Stanley Brownstein, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this conversation. Stanley, take us back. What was the moment when you knew, to coin my own phrase, that was then, this is now?
Okay. When I was getting ready to turn 50 years old, okay, first of all, let me give a teeny bit of background story.
Yeah, please
My
do.
mother died when I was eight. Needless to say, that messed with my head. And I was living with my massively obese father who had no clue how to eat properly. And we both just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that started me on a life of obesity. Most men like to brag that they're as small as they were when they got married. I'm smaller than I was when I was 13 years old. And that's kind of scary when you think about it. But so life of obesity going on and on and on. As I was approaching 50 years, and I maxed out like this. 367 pounds when I was about 28, 29, 30 years old.
Wow, yeah.
367.
For
Okay.
listeners, I'm looking at a picture where you would not recognize the man that I'm talking to today from the other picture.
I'll give you a description. I had a 58-inch waist and I'm 5'7".
Wow, okay.
Today I have a 31-inch waist and I'm still 5'7". And a lot much happier, to say the least. So as I was getting ready to turn 50, I wasn't 4 months before, February 1st, 2009. I call that day my rebirth day. And I celebrate it every year. I just celebrated my 17th rebirth day 25 days ago. Now, if you notice, it was not January 1st. It was February 1st. That's because, like so many people, I made a New Year's resolution and I blew it. The difference was this time I got started again. And I kept going once I got started. And we're going to talk more about that as we get into this. So 4 months before my 50th birthday, I was 320 pounds at the time, not my full 367, but I was still big. And I woke up and I said, where am I going to be in 5 years if I keep doing what I'm doing right now? Care to guess what the answer was? You can
Pushing
say
up
it.
daisies.
Yep, dead, dead. And guess what? I didn't want to be dead. So I said, I need to make some changes. So I turned to my wife and I said, I'm cooked. I'm done. Time to start making some changes right now. And just, I mean, to be honest with you, I was disgusted with myself. I felt like I was wasting my potential. And I felt like what I was doing was ridiculous and that I could be so much better than what I was. and this was ridiculous that I was doing that. So I said, what changes do I need to start making? In the beginning, I came up with four. First one, I was drinking scotch every day. Was I an alcoholic? I don't know. But I was drinking scotch every day. I was drinking more scotch than I should. And it was not serving me. I was serving it. So I believe in symbolism. I took my last bottle of scotch. I poured it down the toilet. I hit flush. Gone. Haven't had a drink in 17 years. Don't miss it. And to be honest with you, it was much easier to kick drinking alcohol than I thought it was going to be. And I think I like to say it's because I was not physically addicted to the alcohol. I was emotionally addicted to it. So when I stopped drinking, I didn't have any detox symptoms. If I had any cravings for it, they were emotional cravings. They were not, they weren't physical cravings. It's not like it was nicotine, heroin, caffeine, or whatever. So it was actually much easier than I thought. Then second thing, 2 liter bottles of soda pop. I was drinking three of those a day.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, but they were diet caffeine free, so surely they were healthy, right? No. The marketing companies were misleading me. They were, these are all my opinions that I'm stating here. I think I was being sold a bill of goods, and I think anyone who's told that stuff is healthy is still being sold a bill of goods. There are companies out there that all they want to do is make money off of us. And they'll sell us down the river as long as they're making money. And I don't like that. And that's one of my goals is to change that. So symbolism again, I took my last bottle of soda pop down the toilet, flush, gone. Haven't had one in 17 years. Don't miss it. And then I said, I'm going to make a dietary change. I liked chicken and turkey, so I'm going to give up red meat, beef and pork. I figured chicken and turkey were healthier than beef and pork. So I did that, and that was an interesting thing considering my father was a butcher and I grew up in a home with unlimited free meat, to stop eating that. But that wasn't that bad either because I like chicken and turkey. I did that. Then I said, I'm going to start walking and I'm going to try to do it every day. And for the most part, I did do it every day, but I had days where I didn't. In the beginning, I had trouble walking more than two or three blocks because my knees hurt. And it was tough on me, but I found a gym that had a 20 that was open 24 hours and they had a pool. And I would go in there in the middle of the night when the pool was empty and I would walk laps in the pool. Started out half an hour and then an hour, then 2 hours, 3 hours. I set a goal by my 50th birthday. I wanted to walk a 5 hour pool walk. And on my 50th birthday, I had lost 50 pounds by then. I did walk that 5 hour pool walk and to show you how it was easier than I thought, 2 days later, I did a 5.5 hour pool walk. And it wasn't that bad. So, and then I kept going and going and going over time. First of all, the process I was on and I'm still on, it's an evolutionary process. I didn't just wake up and instantly become skinny. I didn't instantly go from the largest person in the room to the smallest person in the room, but I've done that. That's kind of funny when you think about that. And gradual changes. I was not perfect. I made mistakes along the way. I did a lot of things right. I did a lot of things wrong. I learned from my mistakes. I had to figure things out. Mistakes are proof that you're trying.
Yay.
Learn from your mistakes. We are all human beings, we are imperfect. We're going to make mistakes. The trick is, if you know in advance that you're going to make mistakes and you tell yourself what you're going to do in advance when you make a mistake, then it's easier to pick yourself up and keep going. So, and just so you know, when I started out, that was not the first time in my life that I had told myself I need to lose weight or I'm going to be dead. But it was the first time I permanently, it was the first time I was willing to permanently take action upon what I told myself.
Wasn't
Permanently
that
take.
five? Was that the 5-0 Could that have had some impact there?
Sure it does. I mean, men, women too. You're hitting a milestone age. You think about that stuff. I wasn't afraid to hit 50, but I wanted to hit 60 and 70 and 80, and I'm 66 now. You don't want to know how long I want to live. My goal is to make it to the 22nd century. I'll be
You can
out.
borrow mine. I always sing and live forever. So far, so good.
That's right. I'm gonna live forever or die trying.
There you go.
That's right. You're absolutely right. So keep going, keep going. Then over time, I built up to the point where I did so much walking. I was walking 10 to 15 miles a day. And why did I do that? Not because I'm nuts. I did it because I could. And I was able to build a lifestyle for myself where I could incorporate that. I did things like I put a treadmill in my house and I put a computer on the treadmill so I could set it at 2.25 miles an hour, walk and work while I'm walking. So I did those things. So about 4 or 5 years into the process, I said, I'm going to go a step further. I gave up chicken and turkey. I essentially went vegetarian. I still ate eggs, still ate, and I never liked fish. Still ate dairy, but I did that and I started losing more weight and I lost more. Then I reached a point about a little over 7 years ago, where I couldn't get my weight below 180 pounds, all while I was still continuing to walk 10 to 15 miles a day. I said, if I can't get my weight below 180, I'm doing something wrong here. So I analyzed what I was doing and I gave up cheese, butter, and ice cream. Those are three heavenly favorites. Cheese, butter, and ice cream. See, but let me tell you something. I've already had my lifetime share of cheese, butter, and ice cream. I've had your lifetime share. I've had 20 other people's lifetime share. I didn't need it anymore. So when I gave that up, you know what happened? I lost 50 pounds in like 5 minutes. I mean, I melted. I was getting up every morning, lost another pound, lost another pound, lost another pound. It
Wow.
was a fun time. And the joke that my brother had was I showed him a chart of my weight loss. He said, yes. He said, no, year or two, you're going to be down to zero. That was the joke. So I kept going. And so the lesson to be learned from that is you cannot exercise your way out of a poor diet.
Good point.
I saw an article right around New Year's time on LinkedIn. It said, I want to lose 20 pounds. How much walking do I need to do to lose 20 pounds? And I wrote back on there, that's the wrong question. I said, if you eat a crappy diet, I don't care how much walking you do, you're not going to lose the 20 pounds. It's both. Both things are important. So I did that and I learned that. I eventually got down to where I am today, nice stable weight around 145. 31-inch waist, comfortable, happy, everything's great. And here's the beautiful part, because I did it so slowly, and because I exercised while I was doing it, and I do healthy, did it with healthy nutrition, my skin tightened up.
Wow, okay. That's always a big one.
I didn't have large amounts of skin that needed to be taken off. That was very interesting. That was a massive, unforeseen benefit. Out of the whole process. So I always recommend to people, take your time. I'm not a believer in the weight loss drugs. I'm not a believer in weight loss surgery. If people do that and they want me to help them, I'll still help them. I will still give them guidance on proper nutrition and healthy movement, walking. But if they come to me before they have the surgery, before they go on the drugs, I will tell them, I don't think you need to. Try this first. And see that. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, you were talking about starting to move. You were walking. You cleaned up your intake, and did you actually know this the whole time, or did you get yourself educated somehow?
Okay, first of all, I'll answer that question, but I want to define intake. I have since expanded my definition of intake.
Okay.
Intake is not just the food I put in my mouth, it's the thoughts I put in my head. It's the people I associate with.
Okay, yeah.
It's the environment I create for myself. the things I do, all those things are intake. Now, did I know all this up front? No, I did not. What happened was, as I got further along in the process, I realized two things, which led to me asking a question, and this will answer. Would you really? The first thing I realized was that, first of all, I'm a confident man. I'm an attorney and a CPA, and I've had a very successful business career, and I've done well for myself. 66. I could retire today if I wanted to. But would you believe me if I told you the experience of losing 220 pounds, keeping it off, going from a person who can only walk two or three blocks to turning into a walking athlete who has walked 107 marathons over the last 17 years, who walks a half marathon every day. I'm on a 15-month streak where I've been walking a half marathon or more every day. That experience blew my mind. It really did. It taught me that I am more powerful than I ever imagined. Way more powerful. And that's why one of the reasons I do what I do, because I'm still looking for my limits. I'm in year 18 of my evolution. I haven't found them yet. That's how much more powerful I am than I imagined. Now, the second thing it taught me is that if I'm more powerful than I ever imagined, so is everybody else. If you're listening, I am no more special than you. You are no more special than me. We are all special, each and every one of us. We are all more powerful than we ever imagined. And then when you realize that, it eventually leads to asking a question. And that question was, if I'm capable of doing all these things I've done, what else is out there waiting for me to do that I haven't done yet that I should be doing? That's why I haven't retired. Even though I could go sit on the beach right now, not work another day, don't have to, but I don't want to because I'm having fun. And so I sat there. This is when I started to analyze all this stuff. I mean, there was an analysis along the way to all of this, but I went back and I said to myself, I'm a systems thinker. I've been paid during my career to create systems, to take complicated things and make them simple. So I said, how do I take the game of life and turn it into a human operating system? Think Windows 11, Mac OS, Android for what it is to be an excellent human being. So I sat there because I wanted to take that system and I wanted other people to be able to use the system to help with weight loss and to also help with anything else they wanted to change in their life. Not everyone had my story is primarily weight loss. Primarily, but there were other things too. This system helps me all the time right now. So I said, what's the goal of the system? Well, I said, the goal is not perfection. The goal is excellence. Let me explain the difference. When you're a perfectionist, the only thing that works for you is being perfect. The only thing that works for the people you associate with is if they're perfect. There's just one problem. I already told you there are no perfect human beings. There never have been, and there never will be. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. Trust me, I know I tried. I used to say I was a 367-pound perfectionist. A little irony in that statement. So said to myself, I decided not to be a perfectionist. I became what I call a good enoughist.
That works.
Good enough is good enough. But the beauty of good enough is that no matter how good you are, there's always a level higher, there's always a level farther, there's always a level deeper. Just because you're good enough doesn't mean you shouldn't try to be better.
Right.
It's an evolutionary process. So that's what excellence is. Excellence is seeking to constantly and never-endingly improve.
Okay.
Actually,
I was going to ask you what the distinction was. Yeah, so.
that's one of my books. It's on my website for free. The Way of Constant and Never-Ending Improvement. I talk about that in great detail. Constant and Never-Ending Improvement, abbreviated as CANI, can I? And
Okay.
the answer is yes, you can. Okay. So I said, if it's going to be about excellence, what should I name the system? After much thought and lots of dry starts, I came up with the Way of Excellence, which you can see in this little chart I'm holding up. And if you're on audio only, you'll have to go to my website at thewayofexcellence.com, thewayofexcellence.com. It's all there, the whole system. This is a system I created. If you can see the chart, you'll see it's color-coded. It's nice and neat. Everything lines up perfectly. You can tell I'm an anal accountant, by the way I did this. It's all here on the
A
chart.
recovering perfectionist.
Yeah. Well, here's a funny story about that. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking at the chart. I have a big version of it on the wall behind me. And I was looking at it. And you know what I noticed? One word is misspelled on the chart. I had a typo in it. And I sat there and I asked myself, should I correct this on my website? Should I correct this in all my books? Should I correct this? Should I get new charts printed? Those charts cost me almost $100 a piece. I have two of them. They're 5 foot wide. I said, should I get this all corrected? And I said, no. That's because the system is called the Way of Excellence. It's not the Way of Perfection. That typo belongs there. It's supposed to be there. I unintentionally put it there. It
Right.
belongs there. So
Good.
it's the way
I've
of
often
excellence.
said that perfect is a moving target anyways.
Yeah,
You
it
know,
is.
because you can think, oh, I've reached, like you have this vision of perfection and you get there, but there's always something more. There's always something else.
That's why I
So,
call it excellence.
yeah, very
Excellence
good.
incorporates the
Good
something.
enough, good enoughism.
Yeah, good enoughism. You can call it good enoughism too, same thing.
Yeah.
So I said, how do I turn this into a system? And I said, what are the components of this system? What are the traits of an excellent human being? Well, over time, I eventually came up with 20. And I put them in a specific order for a specific reason. And this system is so comprehensive. It has been years since I came up with a situation that the system can't cover. And I use it all the time. If you're a parent and you want to raise good children, I recommend you go to my website. I have a video on each one of the 20 concepts that we're about to go over. And they're kid-safe videos. They're all 8 to 12 minutes each. They're actually entertaining. And watch them with your kids. Teach them the system. You have employees, teach them the system. Teach yourself the system. It's all there. And I purposely make all this stuff available for free. It's not that I don't like money. I do. It's not that I don't want somebody to hire me to work with them privately. I do. But I realize not everyone has money. And I realize not everyone is going to spend money. And the message that I want to spread is more important than money. So I don't want money to get in the way of the message. So it's there. So stuff's all free. Now, what are those 20 traits? Number one, anybody who's been in a 12-step program will recognize this one. Learn to tell it like it is. 12-step program, they'll tell you, admit you have a problem. Okay. On February 1st, 2009, I told it like it is. I said, do something or I'm dead. That's that you can't tell it like it is any more than that. But there's a second component to it. Permanently act upon what you told yourself. See, I had lost weight before. I had one time where I lost about 70, 80 pounds. I had another time where I lost 100, but it was all temporary. And I put the weight back on. But the moment I permanently started acting on what I needed to do, the weight started coming off, and guess what? It hadn't come back because my changes were permanent. Yeah. Go ahead.
But how does someone reach that stage? Like, is any of that personality? Like, you sound assertive. You said you're confident. Those are very self-directing.
Yes. Yeah, some of it is definitely personality, but I believe we all have that within us.
Okay.
You know, it's easier for some people. I also realize I've been very fortunate. I grew up with some advantages that other people did not have. I didn't grow up in an abusive household. I grew up in a house where there was food on the table. There was always a roof over my head. My father sent me to college. You know, I realize all those things. Agnes, that's one of the reasons why I'm making this available for free. Because I want to help people who have not had the advantages I've had. I am grateful for the life I have and for what I've accomplished and what is going to continue coming my way. I'm grateful for it. And I believe when I get to number six, we're going to talk about that in a little more detail. So let me keep moving and we'll talk that
Okay.
one again.
All right.
Number two, life is a long-term game. Problem is we live in a short-term world, and that short-term world is ruled by people who want to make money off of us in the short term. Buy this, buy that, get this, get that. You know, Amazon Prime, get this excessive garbage instantly. And don't get me wrong, I use Amazon all the time, but
I
I don't
don't.
use
It's okay.
I do, but I don't use it to buy excessive garbage. Alexa, Siri, Uber Eats, ChatGPT, you know, all those things. Instant answer, streaming video. You want to watch a movie? Watch it instantly. I do a lot of those things, but I put limits on those things now when I used to not do that. And because what I realized was every time I was satisfying my short-term desires, I was potentially jeopardizing my long-term future. Every time I went to a Chinese buffet for lunch to satisfy my short-term cravings, I was knocking days, weeks, months, years off my life. Every time I was going home from work at the end of the day and sitting on my butt and drinking scotch, I was knocking days, months, weeks, years off my life and jeopardizing the quality of my life that I still had. You know, all those things. There's two terms that are very interesting. There's lifespan, which is how long you're going to live, and there's another term called health span. How healthy are you? How long are you going to live where you can enjoy your life because you're healthy? I focus on both. You know, because I know a lot of people, you know, I mean, my father, he lived to be 85, and the last 10 years of his life weren't pretty. But the sad part is, if I knew what I know now, and given his genetics, I could have added 10 years to his life through proper nutrition and made those last years much better. But I didn't know what I know now.
Sure.
So I forgave myself for that one. So number three, take personal responsibility. I didn't blame my mother for dying when I was 8 years old. I didn't blame my father for having no clue how to eat properly and letting me get away with eating a bunch of garbage. I mean, the reality is he had a fifth grade education and all he knew was hard work and provide for his family. That's all he knew. And he did that well. So, you know, thank you for that. And while I was at it, I didn't blame myself. You know why? Because blame is irrelevant. All that matters is identifying what needs to be done and then doing it. It's all
You're
that
here.
matters. That's it. And if you're a politician in Washington, hear me. Blame is irrelevant. I don't care what, I
Those
don't care
were the
what,
words I didn't say.
I don't care which side you're on. Blame is irrelevant. Fix the problem. Now, number five, sorry, number four,
Yes,
change.
before, yeah.
Number four, embrace change. You know, stop fearing change, embrace it. Change can be fun. Change, you know, don't fear change. All those good things you want in life are on the other side of your fear. Face your fear. Face everything and rise. That's what fear should stand for. Number five, focus, positive focus. There's something I call the principle of expansion. What you focus on in your life, you're going to get more of. So Start using the word can. Stop using the word can't. Start focusing on the positive. Stop focusing on the negative. Start focusing on the good. Stop focusing on the bad. Engage in positive self-talk. Stop with the negative self-talk. Or as Zig Ziglar used to say, stop with the stinking thinking. It's real simple. Tell your brain believes everything you tell it. So tell it good stuff. Now, here's the part where we talk about perspective. I think we kind of were getting toward that a few minutes ago. When I started out, I said, I have to eat well today. I have to go walk. I have to, I have to, I have to, I have to. But I don't want to. See, that's the problem with motivation. Motivation wears off. This is February 25th. How many people joined a gym or went on a diet January 1st who've broken it by now? Way too many. I did it myself. I told you on January 1st I was going to get started and I blew it. But I started again on February 1st. When I had days that I didn't want to get out and walk, I remembered a woman I had met 2 years earlier, 2007. Her name was Peggy Chun. Peggy, okay, I met her as part of, I was writing a book where I was driving around the country and I was going to interview 50 people who had various levels of success, and I was going to put them in a book that I was writing. So Peggy lived in Honolulu, Hawaii. She was an artist. By the time I met her, she had advanced ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. She was completely bedridden, could not speak, was on a ventilator, could not move. The only way she could communicate, trained people would hold up an eye chart and they could read her eye movements and she could spell out words. So for me to do a 20-minute interview with her took like 2 hours. But when I saw her, the thought that went through my mind was, if I ever get like that, please put a pillow over my head and take me out. I would have wanted to die. But guess what? That was not Peggy's attitude. Peggy's attitude was, my grandkids are coming over later today. It's a beautiful sunny day. They're going to take me outside and we're going to paint. You're getting ready to drive around the country and you're going to interview 50 amazing people. Tell me all about them. I want to hear their stories, every one of them. I wish I could go with you. That was Peggy's attitude. So whenever I had a morning where I did not feel like walking, you know the old saying, what would Jesus do?
What would Peggy do?
I said, what would Peggy do? And the answer is Peggy would have gotten her lazy butt out of bed and she'd have gone for a walk and she might not ever come back because she was having such a good time. So anytime I did not feel like walking, I said, this one's for you, Peggy. And I went and I walked anyway. So it's a matter of perspective. All these things I'm telling you, they're not things you have to do. There's only one thing in life you have to do, and that's die. That's it. You don't even have to pay your taxes. You might go to jail, but you don't have to pay your taxes. All you have to do is die. That's it. You get to do all these things. It is your privilege to do all these things. That's why all the things on my website are free, because I have learned these things. It is my privilege to share what I have learned with others. Not my obligation, my privilege. And let me tell you what I've learned. Would I change things that I did earlier in life if I could? Answer is yes, I would. I would make changes, no doubt about it. Do I regret anything I did, anything I put myself through? No. And the reason why is it was necessary for me to experience those things, to learn what I know now, and to turn me into the person I am now. And I happen to like the person I am now. It was necessary for me to learn those things so I could teach them to others. That is my purpose for being on this planet. That is why I am breathing. That's what I'm here for. So it's all about perspective. You don't have to do anything. You get to do it. Now, seven, vision. Dream big dreams. My vision wasn't just to get myself in shape. It's to help thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of people get their life together. Am I going to achieve that goal? Don't know. But I'm going to keep working until I do. Big dreams. I'm going to dream, might as well be big. Okay.
Here, here.
Then, law of attraction, number eight. I call it the law of reciprocity. If you want things, you got to give first. You want to be wealthy, help other people become wealthy. You want to be healthy, help other people become healthy. You want love, love other people. But if you want things, you have to give first with no expectation of return. But like I said, number six, you don't have to do anything. You get to give with no expectation of return. It is your privilege. Because if enough people start giving to each other, eventually someone's going to give something to you. That's the way it works. Could you imagine a world where we all cared about each other and started giving to each other? Oh my, oh my. I'd love to live in that place. So let's make it happen. Okay. Number nine, allocation of your time, energy, and resources. How do you use them? I'm not saying never waste your time. I'm not saying never pick up your phone and doom scroll on TikTok or something. I do it all the time, but I limit it to 5 minutes. I don't do it for hours and hours and hours. When I watch TV, I don't watch it for hours and hours and hours. I watch TV. I don't watch any TV during the day, and I watch 20 or 30 minutes before I go to sleep. And that's it. When it comes to reading the news, I don't read the news for hours every day. I spend 10, 15 minutes and I read it. I know what's going on. I'm just as informed as any other person on the planet, but I don't get obsessed with all the news, half of which I can't stand and I hate. So I don't get obsessed with that because it would eat me up if I did. So, use your time, energy, resources wisely. Spend time on yourself. I tell people if you want to start out, spend 15 minutes a day on yourself. Quiet room. No TV, nothing. If you want to use that time to pray, pray. You want to meditate, meditate. You want to just sit and think, sit and think. You want to do deep breathing, do deep breathing. Do whatever you want. I recommend people go to my website and watch one video a day. They're 8 to 12 minutes. In a month, you'll be amazed at what you've learned and what you've done, and you'll be on your way. Learn the system. So 15 minutes a day. If you spend 15 minutes a day and do it every day over the course of a year, that's 90 hours. That's 2 work weeks. What can you get done in 2 work weeks? Start working on yourself. Time for yourself. And I spend a lot more than 15 minutes a day working on myself. I spend hours every day working on myself because I'm fortunate. I have intentionally and consciously created a lifestyle for myself where I can do that. And so I do that. 10, take consistent action, action that is consistent with your goals. I said for years, I want to lose weight and get in shape. Then I'd go to Chinese buffets for lunch, go home from work, sit on my butt and drink scotch. Is that going to get me in shape? No. But
Not the right shape.
no, it really it actually did get me in shape. You're right about that. So that's a good way of putting it. Not the right shape. I like that. So when I changed my eating habits and started bringing healthy food to work and eating healthy food, stopped sitting on my butt and started walking, stopped drinking scotch and other garbage, guess what? I started losing weight, started getting in shape. Look where I am today. So action should be needs to be consistent with your goals. Okay, then persistence. 11. Never give up. Never surrender. Get started and do not stop. See that in the past, I've gotten started before, but I always stopped. This time I never stopped. Fall down 7 times, get up 8. Me, I've fallen down 1,000 times. And I got up 1,001. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Because as long as you keep going, you're eventually going to get there. Anybody who's been successful will tell you about all the times they failed. And since you're a human being, you're going to fail. You're gonna screw up. Promise. You can take that one to the bank. Gonna happen. But if you're prepared, you can deal with it. 12, integrity. Act with integrity. Integrity is what you do when no one's looking. It's a measure of your character. It's honesty, integrity, loyalty, trust, sincerity, things like that, all those things. Act like that. That's what's important. Act the way you would if you knew somebody was watching you. If you're religious, pretend God's watching you and act like you would if God's watching you. If you're a husband, pretend your wife's watching you. I knew that'd get a
I always
chuckle.
told my kids just make sure when you go to bed at night, you can go to sleep with a clear conscience, knowing everything has been.
That's right. But once again, you're not going to be perfect, but do the best you can and get better and better. See, there's a goal I have. It's called beat yesterday. Your goal is to be better today than you were yesterday, better tomorrow than you were today, and keep going and going. I am in year 18 of beat yesterday. Now, realize sometimes if you have a bad day and you mess up, as long as you pick yourself up and keep going, when in the past you would have quit, that is beating yesterday. So just keep going. Okay. 13, respect. Respect for others, respect for yourself. I have people, there's some people right now I'm doing stuff with. I don't particularly like the way they're treating me. I don't particularly like the things they're doing, but I make sure I treat them with respect. Because respect is a measure of my character, not theirs. I respect people because I'm a person who respects people. My mother and father taught me to respect others. It's who I am. So do that. And then there's self-respect. I used to complain that people didn't show me the level of respect I felt I deserved, all while I was walking around at 367 pounds. So on some level, I was showing them an outward manifestation that on some level I didn't respect myself enough to take care of myself. Is it any wonder they didn't respect me? Duh. When I started losing weight, guess what? People started respecting me more. Happened. Is it fair? Maybe not, but that's the way it is. Then win-win thinking, 14. In order for me to win, it doesn't mean you have to lose. There's enough in this world. This world is abundant where all of us can win. Start looking for ways where everyone can win. 15, balance. I learned that a balanced life is not something you find. A balanced life is something you intentionally, consciously create. What is balance? I'll give you a good, simple definition here. I learned this in a Tai Chi class. Balance is identifying everything in your life that's deficient and increasing it. Identifying everything in your life that's excessive and decreasing it. That's balance. Excessive, sorry, deficient, increase, excessive, decrease, balance. So create an intentionally conscious, balanced life for yourself. 16, here's where the good stuff comes. What are the three most important words in the English language? Just
Oh
hazard
my,
guess.
please, thank you, my mother would have
Okay,
said.
one. Yeah. I used to say, I love you. Those are the three most important words, and I'm guessing your mother told you that every night. Okay, I love you. Well, I've changed my mind. The three most important words in the English language are you willing? Because unless and until you become willing to permanently do what it takes for the rest of your hopefully very long, hopefully very happy, hopefully very healthy life, you're not going to get where you want to be. At least not permanently. You might get there temporarily, but not permanently. Permanent results requires permanent change. Permanent results requires permanent change. So you have to be willing. But as we said before, you don't have to do anything. You get to be willing. It is your privilege to be willing. It is my privilege to eat nothing but healthy food every day. It is my privilege to walk every day. So I do it. Okay. 17, belief. Believe you can or believe you can't. Either way, you're going to be right.
Yes, Mr.
So,
Ford.
yes, that's correct. So I already told you, you're more powerful than you ever imagined. Believe it and start acting on that belief. Start telling yourself you can do things. You want to lose weight, you can do it. You want, your podcast is geared toward what, boomers,
Primarily women, yeah.
midlife type stuff. Look, I didn't start making changes till I turned 50. I was turning 50. The only difference is I no longer think 50 is my midlife. I don't. I think I'm going to live past 100.
I
That's the
always,
point.
yeah, well,
Yeah.
people try to tell me that because I speak with boomers, that we're sort of the older people. And I'm going, I began, I haven't finished yet, so I'm somewhere in the middle, which is
Yeah.
how I call it midlife. Yeah.
That's a way to do that. And I can actually handle that definition. Because when I hear second half of life, it makes
Oh,
me
yeah.
sick. It makes me sick when I hear that. Because I think you're telling your brain limited thinking right there. Second half of life. Give me a break. Okay, so I'm okay with midlife now. I like the definition you gave me. That's a good one.
Okay.
I can get my head around that one. Then 18, discipline. And I'm not talking punishment. I'm talking self-discipline. I'm talking about identifying all the negative habits in your life. Chinese buffets, gone. Drinking soda pop every day, gone. Drinking scotch every day, gone. Sitting on my butt every day, gone. And intentionally replacing those old negative habits with positive habits. Walk every day, yes. Eat healthy food every day, yes. Surround myself with positive people every day, yes. Only work on positive things every day, yes. All those things, positive habits. Anybody wants to read a good book on habits? Atomic Habits by James Clear. You've
Yeah.
read that. Fantastic book. And it'll tell you all about habits, habit formation, how to break the bad ones, create new ones. Discipline. See, discipline is wonderful. Motivation wears off. If I relied solely on motivation, I would have quit after the first week. Discipline takes over. And discipline is what has propelled me for over 17 years and continues to propel me every day. Discipline. And then all this sounds tough. Let's make it easy. 19, commitment. When you become 100% all in on something, it becomes easier. That's because you stop asking questions. Here's an example. I am 100% committed that only healthy food is going to enter my mouth. Week before Christmas, a Laura I was working with, who obviously didn't know my eating habits, had cupcakes and cookies delivered to my house, gourmet cupcakes and cookies. I didn't ask, can I eat this? The answer is, yeah, I probably could. I think a long time ago, I wouldn't have been disciplined enough to eat a cookie and then quit. That would have slid me back into the rabbit hole, and I would have been right back where I started from. I mean, that had the first time I lost 75 pounds, I went on a road trip and there were cookies in the back seat, and I had an intimate love affair with the cookies. And I put all my weight back on plus more. Whereas now, I could eat a cookie and I wouldn't slide back down that hole. But the reality is, I have no business eating cookies. I've already had my lifetime share of cookies. I've had your lifetime share. I've had 20 other people's lifetime share. I have no business eating cookies. I have no business drinking scotch. I have no business drinking soda pop. I have no business doing a lot of things that I used to do. Just they're not, those actions are not in the, those short-term actions are not consistent with my long-term goals. See why this whole system, everything is in order for a reason. We play off the earlier concepts. So instead, I have a neighbor who lives down the street. She's very skinny. She loves that stuff. I gave it to her. She was happy. I was happy. Everybody was happy. Did that. Okay. Then I'm 100% committed to walking every day. I no longer ask myself, am I going to walk today? I no longer ask myself, do I feel like walking today? I say, I am walking today. It's who I am. I do it no matter what. So when you become 100% committed, you stop asking questions. You ask the question one time, am I 100% committed to eating healthy every day? Yes. You don't have to ask the question anymore. The answer's already been determined. Am I 100% committed to walking every day? Yes. No questions to be asked. It saves you the brain power. It saves the energy. It saves you the temptation. It saves you the potential of messing up. And if you're at a point in your life where you can't do that, that's okay. It simply means you're not 100% committed yet. You might only be 80% committed or 90% committed. Work on it. Cut yourself some slack. Be grateful you are where you are. Every time you do something good, praise yourself. If you're trying to eat healthy and you have a good day where you ate healthy, reward yourself, but don't reward yourself with a cookie. Reward yourself with something positive and just do that. Keep going. Now, the last one. How do we tie all this together? I call it integration of mind, body, and spirit. What I have learned is your mind feeds your body and spirit. Your body feeds your mind and your spirit, and your spirit feeds your mind and your body. When I say spirit, I mean everything that's intangible that you can't put your hands on. Your energy, that kind of thing. But I have a little chart, a diagram that I actually made for it. It's a three-part yin-yang. This is on the website. You see this little person in the middle, that stick figure?
Right, yeah.
That's where you want to be. You want to be the person in the middle, where you're equal parts mind, body, and spirit. See, my problem was when I started out, I was all mind. I'm a CPA and an attorney. I sat at a desk all day. I worked on my work all day. All I did was use my mind. Then I'd go home and sit on my butt, feed garbage into my body, and I neglected my body. I wasn't listening to my body. And all of this was affecting my spirit. To the point where on February 1st, 2009, I woke up and I was disgusted with myself. Seriously, I was disgusted. I mean, if I could have thrown up, I would have. That's how disgusted I was. I said, this is ridiculous what I'm doing to myself. And I said, time for it to stop. Enough is enough. I've played around long enough. So then I started working on my body. And guess what happened? I got to the point where I was spending so much energy working on my body, I didn't want to do my work. I lost my motivation to do my work. I had to force myself to do my work. So I had to start paying attention to my mind. And then bring it all into equilibrium, where I spend time on all three every day. And I actually, in my life, I have three separate rooms. The room we're in right now is my mind room. It's my office. I have a body room that has a treadmill in it and one or two other machines, and a computer in there so I can work while I'm on the treadmill. And then I have a spirit room where I can meditate. I have all my stuff in there that helps me meditate and relax. And my wife uses it as a TV room. I separate those functions and I spend time every day on all three areas. As I said, conscious. Now, I know we're about out of time and I've probably gone over time. Can I tell you four things that I recommend for people if they want to get started?
Can I just
Yeah, yes.
ask you first? All the way through, you went through your 20 concepts, and I've got it on my other monitor here, so I was following them. And throughout our conversation, you've been talking about permanence. Could you specifically address the fact that if someone this afternoon ends up with a chocolate bar, it is not the end of the world. There is tomorrow where you just get back on track,
That's
you know?
right. As long you had that chocolate bar. What are you going to learn from that chocolate bar?
It doesn't taste very good anymore.
But are you going to say, I had that chocolate bar? First of all, when you said chocolate bar, I can taste it right now. I haven't had a chocolate bar in years, but I can taste it just by thinking about it. But okay, you had the chocolate bar. What are you going to learn from it? Are you going to say, I screwed up? I'm no good. I'm a failure. I'm worthless. Or are you going to say, I had that chocolate bar, I enjoyed it, or it wasn't good as good as I thought it would be? My wife, sometimes she says, I ate a chocolate bar. She says, I didn't even enjoy it. And I go, well, then why'd you eat it? So you do that kind of thing. Or are you going to learn from it and say, okay, I messed up. I did that. That's okay. I forgive myself. I'm not going to blame myself. I did what I did. Now let's pick back up. Let's start again tomorrow. Keep going. If you did that, you beat yesterday because the old you would not have done that. And you're not a failure. And that's okay. You can
Thank
do
you.
that.
Yeah, I just wanted to really
Yes,
emphasize the fact
that's
that
good. I'm glad you did. Cut yourself some grace. Seriously.
Okay, back to your four.
Okay. Four things. If someone wants to get started, here's what I recommend. First thing, eat less processed food and more natural food. I'm not saying no processed food. I'm not saying never have a hamburger. I'm not saying never eat a frozen pizza. I'm not saying never eat fried chicken. I'm not saying never have butter on your bread or anything like that. I'm saying do it less. More natural food, grains, fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds. Me, that's all I eat now. But I didn't start out that way. That's what I evolved into over years and years of time. Just get started. So I always say less processed food, less. Now, two. Quit eating 4 to 5 hours before you go to bed. That's a tough one for some people. When you snack at night, you're taking your food to bed with you, and that's not good. There is a process that's known as autophagy, where if you give your body 12, 13, 14 hours with no food, and you give it time to digest and process the food you've eaten, your body starts to cleanse itself. It cleanses your cells, it heals you. That's where you activate all your healing energy. That's what you want. So if you will sit there and not eat 4 to 5 hours before you go to bed, and then you sleep 6, 7, 8 hours, you might have gone 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 hours with no food. Your body has time to cleanse itself. Then eat your breakfast, a healthy breakfast, and enjoy yourself. Me, I recommend something like oatmeal. And I mean, the oatmeal in the Quaker box like your grandma used to eat, not the ones in little packages. You see all the time, because the little packages are usually loaded with added salt and added sugar. So you want to learn to read labels. If you go to my website, there's a whole tab on there about healthy eating, healthy nutrition. It's all on there, and a lot of mindset work on all that. Tons of videos. I did several webinars with other experts in the area. They're all there. It's all available for free. All that good stuff. Get going. It'll get you motivated and it'll keep you going. Then, third thing, walk at least 20 minutes a day. And if you can't walk 20, do 10, do 5, walk, do what you can. Because you know what happens if you start walking 20 minutes a day? You meet some
Becomes
very,
25.
yeah, you meet some very interesting people. And would you care to guess who the most interesting person you're going to meet is?
Over yourself.
Yes, yourself, because you have time to think.
I
You
was just
start
gonna
thinking.
say, yeah, I
Yeah.
used to do my best thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, I do it all the time. I make sure I have my cell phone with me when I'm walking. I come up with great ideas and I have a note-taking system I do, and I write them down so I never lose a thought. Sit there and do that. Then, last one, set aside 15 minutes a day just for yourself. We kind of touched on that, earlier. 15 minutes a day just for yourself. Meditate, pray, just quiet time, whatever it is you want to do. Watch my videos, one a day. Do that. 15 minutes for yourself. That's it. Eat less processed food, more natural food. Quit eating 4 or 5 hours before you go to bed. Walk at least 20 minutes a day. Set aside 15 minutes a day for yourself. Let me ask you a question. If we could get every able-bodied American to do that, what would happen to the healthcare costs in this country?
Well, I'll just start by saying I'm in Canada, so maybe we need to get both
Okay.
countries
If we
happening.
got, yes, we do. Although I will tell you, as a general rule, I found Canadians tend to be a little better at those habits than Americans are.
That's because we've got the cold weather to deal with.
It may be true. But I love Canada, by the way. And one of my goals, you're going to live. One of my goals is to start on one side of Canada and walk to the other.
There is the Trans-Canada
Yeah,
connection,
I
now the
know.
trail. Yeah.
Walk it.
So no, there is, that's what I mean. It's a trail.
Yeah, I know.
Coast to coast, yeah.
I think I do that, but it gets cold. But I
Okay,
just
I do have one more question. And first of all,
go.
to our listeners, you know that I come with notes. I've just been scrolling through them because absolutely everything I wanted to ask of Stanley, he's just breezed right through it. So that's great. One question, though, I'm going to ask you. If your 367-pound self could see you today, what would surprise him the most?
First thing he would do, I'll tell you what he would say. Okay, my best friend, who I've known since I was 6 years old, who does not live in the same town as me, knew I was losing weight. He knew about it. We had several years ago, he had a family, we had a family function. It was with my family, but he was invited as well. And we got together and he walked in the room and he saw me and he went, ugh. He couldn't believe it. So the answer is disbelief.
There you
And then
go.
he would probably start laughing. He probably
Enjoy,
would.
I hope.
Yeah, he would laugh. He would. That's what he would say. And you know, it's
You
funny,
go.
you're the first person who's asked me that question. That's an interesting way of looking at it. You know, I've always heard, you know, when I was trying to heal from my mother dying when I was eight, they said, talk to your inner child, you know, kind of thing. But I never thought to have my 367-pound guy talk to me today. You know, I never thought of that's an interesting way of looking at it. And you know, and that talking to your inner child, I actually had, it's funny, do we have a couple of minutes to tell you an interesting story? Okay. I had an opportunity to do that literally. When my mother died, I shut down. I did not cry. Did not cry for years. Did not cry at the funeral. None of that. About 25 years later or so, one of her sisters died, my aunt. I went to the funeral, and when I walked into the cemetery, in front of me, there was a 9-year-old boy and a 6-year-old boy, cousins of mine, who this was their grandmother who died. I had never met them before. The 9-year-old was crying his eyes out, and the 6-year-old was standing there by himself, dumbfounded, with a cold look on his face. He didn't know what to make of it. I sat there and I said, that's me. And I said, I will be damned if I'm going to let happen to this kid what happened to me. So I walked up to him. I introduced myself to him. I said, I'm your cousin. We've never met. I said, I know exactly how you feel. When I was your age, my mother died. And I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to feel. And I couldn't cry. I said, it's okay for you to cry. And I put my arms around him and I did not let go until he started crying. And needless to say, all the tears that did not come out at my mother's funeral came out at that funeral. Now, but the story's even better. Life served me a little twist on it. Not only did I get to talk to my inner child and hug my inner child, I had an opportunity to defend him too. There was an elderly Orthodox gentleman at the funeral. He didn't believe kids belonged in funerals. He said out loud in front of 20 or 30 people, he said, what are these kids doing here in this cemetery? Kids don't belong at funerals. Well, Agnes, I snapped because he hit a nerve. Boy, he hit a nerve. I sat there and I said, that was their grandmother. If there's anybody that belongs to this funeral, it's those two kids. And if there's anybody that doesn't belong to this funeral, it's you, SOB. You can get out of here right now. And I didn't call him an SOB. I called him worse than that in front of 20 or 30 people. And he shut up and he did not say another word. So I got to defend my inner child as well. And, and that was fun. So life sometimes offers us opportunities to heal. You need to be on the lookout.
Yeah.
The universe wants to help us. I mentioned this, but you know what the word paranoia is. You think everybody's out to get you. Well, there's another word, pronoia. You ever heard of it?
No, haven't heard that one.
That's where everybody's conspiring to help you.
Okay. Is that a real word, or did you make that
Yeah,
up?
it is a real word.
Okay.
I haven't checked to see. I've heard it and I've seen it. I'm pretty sure it's in the dictionary.
Okay.
If we want an instant answer, I could ask Alexa right now. But I won't.
If
But I won't.
she's listening anyways, don't worry about
Yeah,
it.
there you go.
Okay, Stanley, tell us where we find you on the World Wide Web.
Okay. Thewayofexcellence.com.
There
That's
we go.
thewayofexcellence.com. I think that's going to be in the show notes.
Yes.
If you go there, start with the videos. They're all on the main page. Watch one a day. In less than a month, you'll learn the whole system, then start reading the books. I have guidebooks on there. I have 14 guidebooks on there. 11 of them are expanding on the way of excellence. Three of them are on healthy living, walking, healthy nutrition. And one talks about weight loss. It's all there, and there's a tab on there that's about nothing but weight loss.
Okay.
All there, and it's free. Go for it.
All
And
right.
at the bottom, there's a link you can click if you want to write to me, if you want to say thank you. Got questions, write to me. If you want to work with me privately, write to me. I'll talk to you about that too. But just it's there. Change your life. You can. Believe it. You can, seriously.
All right. I will add that you're on social. I'm just looking. I've got YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. May I ask you a personal question before we close?
Yes, you may. Go for it.
Your new self is a world away from your old self. Did you lose anyone along the way? Because sometimes people can't handle another person becoming a whole new version of themselves.
Okay. First of all, I'll share with you the conversation I had with my wife on February 1st, 2009. And before we get started, spoiler alert, we're still married.
Okay.
But let me tell you the conversation I had. I said, I'm going to make some changes in my life. You might like them, and you might not like them. And if you don't like them, frankly, I don't care. I told her that in those words. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm going on a journey. I have to do this or I'm going to be dead. I'm going on this journey. I'm inviting you to come along with me. And I hope you do come along with me. But if you don't want to, there's the door you can walk out right now. I told her that, seriously. To her credit, she stuck with me. And we actually get along better now than we did then. But I told her that. I became what I call healthy selfish. That was healthy selfishness. When you get on an airplane, what's the first thing they tell you? Put your
Find where that
oxygen
thing is.
mask on first. But that's selfish. It's healthy selfishness. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be in any position to take care of anybody else. Trust me. The me I am today is a better husband than I was back then. She'll tell you that too, and she knows it. So did I lose anybody else? Did I lose anybody? Yeah, I lost a couple of friends. I did. I mean, I had one friend who was big and she couldn't handle it and she stopped contacting us. I had somebody else who I got tired of the conversation always being about them. And I said, look, we've been best friends for years. Either this needs to change or I'm done. And she chose for it to be done. So yeah, there you do lose some people, but that's okay. It's all about surrounding. Remember I said about intake inputs? Your
Yep.
intake, You want to be surrounded by people who are supportive of you, people who care about you. The reality is sometimes life is about others. Sometimes it's about you. Sometimes it's about us. That's the way it is, and that's normal. But there needs to be give and take. There needs to be an equilibrium. When things are too one-sided, those are people you need to cut out of your life. So yeah, choose wisely. And in many ways, it's a self-selection process. It just happened, kind of a.
I actually used to teach healthy living, and that was one of the things that we talked about, is they may try to sabotage you and they may just not be able to handle it at all and leave. But the
Okay,
ones who stay are the ones who love you.
can we talk about that for a second? Sabotage. You brought up an interesting point. I love talking to you. You bring up all these great points. Somebody asked me the other day, I want to get started going to the gym, maybe, but I'm big. I look like hell. I'm embarrassed to go to the gym. Other people are going to be looking at me. They're going to make fun of me. And I said, who cares what other people think? All that matters is what do you think? Don't let that bother you. Go do it. Take care of yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be loving to yourself. That's all that matters. I had people when I started on this journey, my mother-in-law, she used to like to take the family out to dinner, 6:30, 7:30 at night. Just one problem. I told you I don't eat past 5. So what did I do? Family went out to dinner. I went too. And I sat there and I did not eat. And they used to drive my mother-in-law nuts. She said, you're crazy. And I said, don't let my craziness be your craziness. And I said, think of me as a cheap date. Look how much money I am saving you. And I would talk to the family, I'd interact with the family, and they may have thought I was crazy. And frankly, I didn't care. Doesn't matter. And the funny thing is, it took 4 or 5 years. But one day, she told me, she said, you might be crazy, but you look pretty darn good, and I'm proud of what you've done. Good job. It took that long for her to say it.
Well, at least she said it. That's
Yeah,
great.
she eventually did. But I wasn't waiting around for her to say it. I mean, she told me, she said, frankly, I think what you've done is amazing. And I said, thank you. Do it because what's right. That's acting with integrity toward yourself.
My thought when you were talking about your friend not wanting to go to the gym, my first response was, you're going to the wrong gym. Like, if they're going to make you feel less than, you're going to the wrong gym.
Well, Planet Fitness prides itself on no, they call themselves a no judgment zone. So if and they're all over the country. So if you want to go to a gym where they're supposedly not going to make fun of you, join Planet Fitness.
There you go. But
And no, I'm not being paid to advertise for them, but I'm just
I
saying.
was going to say, or they can just do what you did and get off your ass and put on your shoes and go walking for 20 minutes a day. There we
That's right.
go.
That's exactly right. Get off your ass. Get off your fat ass that will eventually become smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. To where I've reached the point my wife says I have no ass.
Okay, we won't go there. We'll undone. Just get off your ass.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. But no, but the point is just move. Start moving. Don't be perfect. Start moving.
There we go. Pregnant pause. Okay. Your website link is in the show notes. All
Thank
your
you.
links will be on your page at our website. Listeners, what part of this conversation landed for you? Was it the idea of excellence over perfection? The power of daily walking? The courage to begin at 50? I'd really love to hear what resonated most. If you know someone who keeps saying, I'll start Monday, this might be the nudge she needs. Share this episode with someone who's ready for her next chapter.
Today
If you,
is every day is Monday.
there you go. That's well done. If you're exploring what your next chapter could look like in health, purpose, confidence, reinvention, follow this podcast so you don't miss what's ahead. You just click that button. If you'd like to listen early, I release each episode on Substack on Wednesday evening before it goes live everywhere else. So you wander over to Substack. A reminder to check out the Start Here and the Resource tabs at boomwithabang.com. There's a whole bunch of things there, and it continues to grow. Stanley Bronstein, thank you for being my guest today and for sharing not just your story, but your way of excellence structure. Like all 20 of those points were amazing. These sorts of conversations remind us that change doesn't arrive all at once. It shows up in the small choices we're willing to repeat.
That's correct. Thank you, Agnes. This has been a joy.
Thank you. Have a great rest of week.